We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen, amen. I would ask that if you have your Bibles with you, if you have access to the Word of God, even if it's on a tablet or a phone, that you would join me in the text for today. We'll be looking at the Gospel according to Luke, the 8th chapter, verses 40 through 48. And then we'll be looking in the Gospel according to Matthew, the 14th chapter, verses 36 through 38. And we'll put them on the screen for your edification. The Gospel according to Luke, the 8th chapter, starting at the 40th verse. We'll go a little slow because I don't want to lose you, because I love both of these texts. Once you have found your place, if you could stand with me in reverence to the Word of God, we'll read Luke 8 first, then we'll move over to Matthew 14 and start at the 34th through 36th verse. I'm sorry, 34th through 36th. Somebody said, Pastor, there's no 37th or 38th verse. I would agree. I was reminded when I was learning the Bible and my pastors told me to go find a verse that never existed. I looked and looked. I didn't have access to electronic Bible. I'm thumbing through the Bible, and finally I just had to give up and say, I couldn't find it. He said, that's good. It's not there. He said, you took so long, I was concerned you were going to come back with something. It crossed my mind. I just couldn't get the words together. Amen, amen. Let us look at the Gospel according to Luke, the 8th chapter, starting at the 40th verse. It'll be on the screen for your edification. I'll be reading from the New King James Version in both texts. Listen to the Word of God. So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude came welcome him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitude throng and press you, and you say, who touched me? But Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me. Now, when the woman saw that she had not been hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. For those of you that are able, if you can join me in this text in the Gospel according to Matthew, the 14th chapter, the 34th through 36th verse. The Gospel according to Matthew, the 14th chapter, starting at the 34th verse. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all that surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I would ask that you just stay with me only a few minutes from the topic, just a touch. Just a touch. I would be remiss if I did not acknowledge, and I think that we would be remiss if we did not acknowledge to ourselves, to those around us, that for many of us in this building, for many of us all across the land, there's a certain amount of anxiety that we have not ever felt. Somebody ought to say amen. There's a certain concern that I believe every household is talking about. There are things that have happened over the past year and a half that brought us to a place that I don't believe anyone would ever perceive. I think this caused a lot of pain, a lot of anguish, a lot of concern. I believe that it causes the people of God to even question, how am I going to make it the next few years? The reality of it is, stuff like this has been happening for century after century, year after year, generation after generation. There's always been something in the land of the living that caused the people to take a moment and pause and acknowledge within themselves that there is an issue that is far beyond their ability to deal with it. Somebody ought to say amen. It has happened all through the Bible. If you look at the Bible, you'll see there is instance after instance, moment after moment, when the people, the believers and the non-believers, had to come together and acknowledge the pain that they felt from a situation that they had no control over, no ability to deal with. And the question becomes, how do we make it? How do we get through it? How do we go forward? How do we look at our current situation and realize that this situation is not going to last always? Now I know that some of us, and some of us have gone to this moment, perhaps because the preacher has brought us there, but I know some of us are looking at this political scene and believing that's what we're talking about. That's true, but there's also in all of our lives moments of pain and anguish that we have to deal with because we cannot figure out how to get beyond it. Whether that's pain from finances, whether it's pain from relationship, whether that's pain from physical ailments, there's always unrest within us at some point and sometime. These two texts, I love them because it speaks of that moment when the people of God, the non-believers and the believers, had to acknowledge that there was a situation going on that they had no control over. They've done all that they can do. They've done everything they've gone through. They spent all the money they had. At the end of the day, they still had to acknowledge that they could not fix what was wrong in their lives. And if we would be honest with ourselves, there's somebody in the room, if not most of us, there's something going on right now in our lives that we want to get beyond. We can't seem to get beyond. We may not have placed ourselves there, but here we are. Now where do we go? Oh, I wish I had a witness in the house today. I don't know about you, but this has been a trying year already. Somebody ought to say amen. It's not just politics, but it's a whole lot of everything. Been a trying year. Who we are? Was it today, the 21st, 22nd? We only a few days into the year. Lord have mercy. Where do we go from here? Somebody ought to say amen. Now look, when you look at our text, you'll notice there's a certain theme within the text. You had Jesus that was moving about, doing what he was doing. If you read earlier in both Matthew and both Luke, you'll find that Jesus started healing people by touching them, by being in their presence. Jesus started using his ministry in a way that had not ever been used before. He started earnestly healing the sick. He started clothing the naked. He started participating directly in the lives of those who were believers, and more importantly, for those who were non-believers. Jesus was viewed amongst the land as the healer. Now, we know that he was the healing God, but for some of them that were not believers, he was the healer. Now, if I have an ailment, if I know somebody has an ailment that cannot be fixed, that cannot be dealt with, and I know that somebody's healing across the land, I'm going to come to them. And that's what happened. We look in both texts. They came to Jesus. They're trying to find this moment of healing. They came to him, and then you'll look at it, and you'll realize that there was a healing in a way that was unbelievable because it had never been done before. You had people who were just in the presence that were healed. You had people that just simply bumped into him, reached out and touched him, that were healed. You have to understand that no matter what we go through, no matter how life takes us, and no matter how life deals with us, we have to realize that the God that we serve is more than just a God that sits high and looks low. It's more than a God that changes the weather and makes things happen. He's more than a God that is detached and separated from us. But the God that we serve is a personal God, a God who understands your circumstance, a God who realizes where you are, a God who is not only realizing it, but a God who's right there in your presence. You got to understand that no matter what your problem is, what your issue is, being to be in the presence of God, we have to realize the very moment that we're there, we can't be in the presence of God and stuff don't change. When you are there, you got to recognize and realize that something is going to change in your life. There's a lot of people that don't even come to church because they don't feel worthy to come to church. I say to you, pick up your bags, bring your baggage with you, set it down in the sanctuary, because if you're in the presence of God, God is going to change something. Don't be ashamed, because if you look around, everybody got a bag sitting on a seat somewhere. Somebody ought to say amen. Some of them we can visibly see, some of them we cannot. Everybody got a struggle. Everybody's got a secret. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, no, don't do that. We ain't got that kind of time. Everybody has an issue. And a lot of times, we don't bring our issues with us. We won't come in the presence of God. We don't know how to pray, so we don't mumble a word. We don't have the trust and the belief that God's going to do anything. I say to you, and the Bible tells you, just come into his presence. Just be there. All those people were not believers. They just said, if I could just simply get there, I want to see what happens. Some of them came to see, is he going to heal? Is he going to heal everybody? Is he going to heal that person over there? I just want to see it for myself. You know how it is when a good gossip hits the ground. We want to go and see for ourselves. Some of us didn't want to turn the TV on, but some of us couldn't turn it off because we needed to see, is it really going to happen? Oh, my God. Is it really going to happen? Oh, my God, it's happening. Oh, my God, it happened. You don't want to see it, but because it's so juicy, you got to get firsthand knowledge of it for yourself. And that's what we had. We had a bunch of people saying, is he going to really heal that woman? Is it really going to happen? I'm not sure. Oh, my God, that woman is there. Oh, my God, it happened. Oh, my God. The reality of it is, you ought to realize that the people that were talking about, oh, it's happening, that woman is healed, they themselves found out they were healed also. And that's the power of being in the presence of God. When we are in the presence of God, our lives change. We become a little bit sweeter. We become a little bit kinder. We become a little bit less of who we were. That old person that we used to deal with, that we used to love, that used to help us do the things that we do, starts to fade away. And we have not yet acknowledged. Somebody said, wait a minute, but I'm not a believer. But not everybody in the crowd was a believer either. But the God that we serve loves us so much. John said, for God so loved you and me in the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loved us so much that he gave his. He didn't say, I got to wait till you get whole. I got to wait till you get well. I got to wait till the issue go away. I got to wait till the doctors deal with you. No, no, no. The Bible said he loved you so much that in spite of your issue, in spite of your pain, in spite of your hurt, God was there with you. God changed your life. God changed. Do I have a witness in the house? Is there anybody want to testify today that I'm here not because of who I am, but I'm here because of the God that I serve? Thought so much of me, loved me so much, in spite of my pain, in spite of my mess, in spite of my baggage, he healed me anyhow. I wish I had a witness in the house today. To be in the presence of God, our condition will always change. And not only we have to understand, because a lot of times when we look at healing, we look at it from our vantage point. I got this physical issue. I need to get healed from this illness. It's physical. I need to get healed from this worldly stuff. It's worldly. It's physical. I need somebody to help me not tell somebody off. That's physical. I need somebody to help me and convince me not to go off on my job. That's human, physical. I need somebody to help me apologize when I know I ain't wrong. That's human nature. That's physical. And so many times we are concerned so much about what God can do for us in a worldly sense, in a physical sense. Lord, I need you to help me not tell somebody off. Lord, I need you not to help me with this ailment that I have that's physical. Lord, I need you to help me get a better job, a better spouse, a better whatever. That's all worldly and physical. But what we got to realize that even when those people were in the presence of God that did not touch him, did not physically touch him, they were just there. They brought themselves there for whatever reason, to look, to gawk, to gossip. But on the inside, God was healing them, not only physically on the outside, but spiritually on the inside. You got to realize that healing is not just physical, but it's also spiritual. It's also spiritual. And I don't know about you, but I need a spiritual healing every now and again. I need God to get down on the inside and touch the depths of my soul every now and again. I need somebody to know and realize that I am who I am, not because I'm great, not because I'm capable, not because I understand, but because God got down on the inside where I don't know about those issues that deep down in my soul and started healing and touching and molding and moving. That's the healing that many of us need. We come to church expecting a miracle. What a miracle needs to be, that God touch our heart and heal us spiritually, that we might be able to realize that he is God and God all by himself. I wish I had, that's a shouting moment right there. Just the fact that somebody leaves this place and realizes, oh my God, he is really God. He is really God. We say, oh my God, so much, but we don't know what that means. Oh my God, he is really God. We need to know that God heals us from the inside out, not from the outside in. You got to understand that in both situations, that person touched just the hem of the garment. They didn't reach out and grab a hand. They didn't reach out and grab an arm. Nobody allowed them to lay hands on Jesus. Jesus didn't lay hands on them. They didn't get seven elders to lay hands and pray. They just stumbled and touched. They just accidentally touched. They might have wanted to touch, but they just reached out and barely caught the hem of his garment. You got to understand something, church, that sometimes we cannot get completely to God the way we want to get to God. You have to understand that God might not show himself the way we want him to show himself. We want to pray and God say, you're healed. We want to pray and God said, here it is. We want to pray and say, God said, there's your blessing. We want to pray and be able to show that there's a new car in the driveway. There's a new job. There's something tangible. But every now and then, if we just accidentally bump into the presence of God, if we accidentally touch the hem of his garment, that's all it takes. You don't have to know the Bible. You don't have to quote scripture. You don't have to know how to pray. You don't have to understand your own failings and your own sin. All you have to do is know enough to get to the hem of his garment. It only takes a touch. It just takes a touch. That's all it takes. I wish I had a witness in the house. Is there anybody that just needs a touch? I don't need the whole God. I just need a touch. I don't need the whole meal. I just need a crumb that falls from the table. I don't need to be there all the time. I just need to be there every once in a while. That's the God that we serve. The woman with the issue of blood, she just touched the hem of his garment, and she was made whole. She was made whole. We need to know that God is able to heal us. All it needs is just a touch. Now, that touch can be physical, but it can also be spiritual. All you need to do is acknowledge that God is God. And sometimes you ain't got to acknowledge it. I'm a witness. When God touched my life, I ain't want to be touched. I wish I had a witness up in here. Is there anybody sitting in this place today that be bold enough to acknowledge that, you know, I wasn't trying to find God? You know, that pretty girl that sat on the other side, that was why I was there. You know, my mama got on my nerves, that's why I was there. You know, I kept hearing, and I wanted to see for myself because they said everybody there was dead. Nobody was shouting. Nobody. I need to see for myself. I just came in because it was something to do on Sunday morning. I just kept hearing. I just want to hear the gossip. They said somebody was doing something they had no business doing, and I want to go see how that materialized on church. You know, Facebook talk this and talk that. I want to go see for myself. And sometimes, just because we want to see for ourselves the bad stuff and the negative stuff, when we get in the presence of God, we are close enough that God says, now I got you here. Now you in my presence. And now I'm going to reach out. You ain't got to touch me. But David Arthur, I'm going to touch you. You're going to try to run from my touch. But I am God who's bigger than your run. You're going to try to deny my touch. But I am God who's bigger than your denial. I am going to let everybody know they're coming out of your nasty little mouth. You're going to preach the word. You're going to do what I tell you because I am God. I wish I had a witness in the house. Anybody just accidentally bumped into God, and now they can't stop praising. Now they can't stop shouting. Now they can't stop saying hallelujah. You didn't want to sing this morning. It sounded too good. You had to sing hallelujah. You didn't want to praise openly. It got too hot up in here. You had to praise, and you had to thank him, and you had to say hallelujah. The woman said, it's me, Lord. I wanted to hide from you, but I touched you. I'm the sinner. I had the issue, and God said, but don't worry about it. I know your circumstance. I know your situation, and you are better. You are whole because your faith has made. Oh, I wish I had the witness up in the house. Oh, I'm done today. That's the God that we serve. We ain't got to come to him. He come to us. We ain't got to touch him. He touch us. That's the God that we serve. We ain't got to voice our issue. He knows our issue. And he's already working on it right now. There's somebody in the room right now. Just tell him, touch him, tell him right now, God's got your issue. Just let them know that God has got your issue. Somebody needs to realize that all the struggles that they're going through, all the angst that they're feeling, don't worry about what's going on in D.C. God's got that. God's got that. Evidence was yesterday. Somebody ought to say amen. Don't worry about the next 4 years. God is the God of all time. He's got our time. God knew this moment was coming. I said to myself, oh, look at what God has done. Oh, look at what he's done. Now, before a few days ago, our country, we were so separated. Everybody judged everybody. Everybody talked down on everybody. Everybody acted ugly with everybody. Everybody said it wasn't going to happen. It can't happen. Not worthy, not able. It did happen. What did it do? Oh, now I used to talk about you. Now I'm talking with you. Oh, I used to not love on you, but I'm loving with you. Because we got something in common right now. God says, I will let something bad happen in the land that I will draw my people together. They will all shout to me. They will all pray to me. How many people you know wasn't praying, but they praying now? How many people you know didn't show up in church, but they in church right now? Because sometimes God will drop us to our knees so far and make things seem so bad that we ain't got no choice but to say, Lord God, I need you. I need you right now. I need your help right now. Move in my life right now. Because I know that you are able. I may not feel it for myself, Lord, but my mama said, my grandmama said that you are God and you are able. Oh, I wish I had a witness in the house. We are coming together as a people. More people are coming to God for relief. And I believe that was a point of what's going on, not because of this country, but because God said there needs to be love in the land. There needs to be peace in the land. There needs to be unity in the land. And we can't have love and peace and unity without a just cause. Somebody ought to say amen. I thank God. I thank God today. I don't know about you. I thank God today. I thank God because God said I'm going to move in my land. And people are going to know that I am God. We're not going to look up to the individual. But we're going to look up to the God that we serve. And at the end of the day, we're going to know we're healed. We're going to know that we're whole because we are faithful people and we rely on nothing else but the God that we serve. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I am excited about the fact that in my life I've come to realize that no matter what I go through, no matter how bad it might seem, no matter how low I sink, I am always able to find my God. I'm always able to know that his presence is always there. The Bible said that Jesus promised the disciples that even though I go, I will never leave you nor forsake you. My presence, my helper, will always be with you. And he said that not to the disciples, but to the entire world. And please understand, that was not just the believers, but that was the non-believers. And that's the power of Jesus Christ, that he did not forget those that everybody said need to be marginalized. He said, I love you even if you're the tax collector. I love you even if you're the non-believer. I love you even if you denounce me. I'll never stop loving you. And you can do all you want. You can say all you want. But we can never stop God from loving us. And he's patient. He'll allow us to be patient. He'll be patient with us to the point that eventually our hearts will be touched. So right here and right now, we've been praising God. We've been thanking God. We've been shouting. God has given us a word that we should be hopeful, that we should believe that he is God. I'm sure and I hope and believe that you got the understanding that you don't have to know God personally right now. You don't have to know the Bible inside and out. You don't have to correct your sinfulness before you are able to be prepared.